price caps. Who's doing it and is it working? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, and don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you listen. This is Let Me Explain, where we take through a big issue of the week and delve into it in a little bit more detail. And today we're looking at price capping, and you will if you're anywhere around Dublin. Limerick as well, I hear, is pretty bad. The ports in Foynes and Galway as well. There's been a lot of protesting going on this week from hauliers, farmers, people who are affected by the massive increases that we have seen in the cost of fuel over the last month and a bit. And one of the demands that you consistently hear, whether it's people parked up on O'Connell Street or wherever it is could they put a cap on fuel? Can they do a bit more than just cutting the excise duty to what they have, most of which, let's be honest about it, has been erased at the pumps over the last couple of weeks since the government intervened with something that's going to cost a quarter of a billion euro, by the way. Kind of mental to see how little they're getting for their money on that front. But here is Shay. Shay spoke to the Claire Byrne show from the picket lines, I suppose, during the week, and had that as a demand, citing other countries who've done it.
Well, basically looking for the government to take notice of us, and, you know, this carbon tax thing, and reduce the excise duty if they have to, whatever they have to do for us to survive. I mean, we're living in an island here. Everything is transported by goods at some stage of its life. So why are they totally ignoring us?
So they say
they have given something to us, but it's not enough, because, like, Malta have capped it at 140. Poland have done something. So, you know, the Spanish government have done something for the haulage industry.
Now, Malta is one that is often cited for cutting the price or capping the price of fuel. As of late March, they had, I mean, enviable, really, unleaded petrol, 1.34 a litre, and diesel, 1.21 a litre. And this is due to a very significant intervention by the Maltese government. It's not the first time they've done it. They also did it in the wake of the Ukraine-Russia war, when prices were particularly elevated, and it has been a really very significant financial contribution. One, though, that even the Central Bank of Malta has acknowledged has been pretty good for their economy. So they released a paper on this towards the end of 2024, and it was looking obviously at the Russia war rather than the current situation. And in the conclusions, it said, all in all, the fixed energy price strategy currently being enacted by government has been successful at smoothing out the effects of the energy price spikes by supporting aggregate demand in Malta, controlling consumer inflation, and thus preserving the purchasing power of consumers. Moreover, the policy has had a very significant distributional effect, effectively shielding poorer households from relatively more pronounced falls in disposable income when compared to their wealthier counterparts. So basically saying it helped the poor most of all, it kept people with a bit of spending power in their pockets, and as a result, kept the economy going. It did note as well, though, nonetheless, such a policy has had and is expected to continue to have negative effects on both fiscal space, that's the amount of money available to the government to spend, as well as on the external indebtedness of the economy through a worsening trade balance. So it is not without cost, and it is a very significant amount of money. And they also estimate that it is costing Malta, or had been up until that point, this isn't the current figures, as I said, 4.5% of GDP in order to keep the prices of petrol at the pumps artificially low, would be the right word for it. If you were to extrapolate that to Ireland and say we need to spend 4.5% of GDP, you're talking about 32 billion euro. That's an awful lot of money. That is several metros. It's about, I don't know, 15 children's hospitals. It's at least the entire Dublin Metro plus a bit more money on top of that. It's a huge amount of money. It would be equivalent to almost 1 in 3 euro the government spends every year. just to keep that low. So it is probably not on the level that they are talking about achievable to that amount, even though, you know, Malta is also an island nation, all that sort of stuff. Also, I can't remember the last time that Ireland had prices that were even close to that, 130-ish a litre. It must be, I don't know, the bones of 10 years, would you imagine? Certainly a very long time. So they have intervened there and gotten involved. And it has worked to a degree, but it is doing more longer-term balance. Possibly not an option, really, for it to work at scale for a country like Ireland. So when it comes to the caps, could we do something about it? Possibly, yes, when it comes to fuel, but it would be an awful lot of money. It hasn't stopped the likes of, say, People Before Profit weighing in to call for exactly that.
Well, I think it's absolutely outrageous that they failed to act, as Trump and Israel's war has not only rained down death and destruction in the Middle East, but is also costing ordinary people here in a very serious way in their pockets with rising energy prices. And the failure of the government to intervene, to give support, like some sort of emergency energy credit, and, as we are suggesting, actual controls to control the prices of energy and of key goods that are driving up the cost of living and putting real hardship onto ordinary people in this country.
The government, though, is not as enamoured with the idea for a lot of reasons, and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin made that clear when he spoke to Anton Savage on Newstalk Breakfast.
For us, we don't believe fuel capping would work, and it's an endless sort of commitment. We think what we've done so far makes sense. I think a more targeted approach is the way to go, to be frank with you. And I think we also are cautious because we don't quite know what's around the corner here and in terms of how this war is going to continue, and we need to keep some firepower.
Now, one idea that is potentially doable and is actually very interesting is the idea of other price caps. So People Before Profit are not just calling for this on fuel. They want it across larger sections of the economy, you know, food in particular. And this has been done in some European countries. There seems to be, and the government has kind of resisted it and cited the CCPC when it comes to fuel and said price gouging isn't really going on. But if you've been down to the supermarket in the last few years, the amount that, you know, 50, 60 quid gets you is horrendous compared to what it used to be. The big picture figures would put a lie to what I have to say. So if you look at annual food inflation for last year in figures compiled by Euronews, Ireland is about middle of the pack. It's higher than the EU average. So you've got 3.9% food inflation across 2025. The EU average was 2.8. Now, this is taken in sort of European and wider areas. So on the very low end, you have France, for example, which had 0.7% increase, Finland 1.4%, Slovakia 1.8%. Switzerland actually saw a 1.1% reduction in the cost of food, remarkably, but Switzerland is a very incredible place. And then at the other expensive place, rather, and incredible place, I guess, if you go up to the Swiss Alps anytime. On the complete other end, Turkey, a remarkable 32.8% food inflation last year. That is wild. Kosovo 7.8, Romania 6.7, Estonia 6.2, Bulgaria 5.7. So a lot of those Eastern European countries really feeling the pinch there. And if you look at somewhere, say, like Greece, 2%. They had a 2% inflation. And yet, even with that, they have decided to introduce price caps on food. And the way they've gone about it is particularly interesting. So the governments quite across Europe, they were experimenting after COVID and the pandemic with price controls. Greece has done it an interesting way. They have a thing called the household basket, and it is a program of goods. It is a certain amount of 50 categories of essentials. What's deemed essentials? It was introduced in 2022. So bread, pasta, rice, dairy products, cleaning materials and baby food would be some of those that are on this essential list. And they price capped them. They said you can't charge more than this, or you can't make a profit of more than X percent on these particular products. Not only did they do that, and other countries, Croatia, for example, have followed suit since, they make sure that those relevant items were highlighted very clearly in stores. So there's a special sticker or a logo or a colour saying this item is price capped because it's in the special category. That list was updated weekly. So none of this, you know, waiting for something to creep up or a little, you know, little addition or whatever, updated weekly. And even better than that, they have developed an app, essentially, a digital platform where consumers have access to this information. So you can look on this platform and you can see this app. All right, you know, I want to buy rice, whatever it is, or a cut of meat, a steak, whatever it happens to be that's on the list, baby food. And you can see what the prices are in different stores at any one time. So you can know, okay, maybe I'll go to two or three different stores and I'll actually save money doing that. And the large supermarket chains are all obliged to publish their prices online. They face fines of up to 5 million euro for any violations of this. Very, very significant. You're going to comply if that is the risk that you face. To go even beyond that, the scheme requires the supermarkets to submit their supplier price lists. So they can then see when there is a particular markup, when gouging is going on, if there is a massive difference between what they are getting and the goods from the supplier and then what they're actually charging. They've also, you know, managed to change, because they change this list every week, I suppose, it gives them an awful lot of flexibility. So, for example, they're able to change the list in advance of Christmas and Easter. And that can change it so that you would include, say, lamb or turkey or chocolate Easter eggs to keep a cap on costs for families at certain types of year. An analysis done of whether it has worked showed pretty notable price declines. So there were 56 breakfast foods and cereals and a price of up to 23% decline in those foods. Among 34 cheese products that they looked at, the fall was between 5% and 35%. For fresh meat, between 5 and 7% across three different products. And then on top of those, oils and fats and things dropped in price by up to 16% and sweets and chocolates by between 3 and 17%. It hasn't been without pushback. Some retailers in Greece have argued that the system is unfair. They're unable to absorb the costs, particularly now, as their input costs are going up and up and up, and they obviously have to increase the price to some degree. But it's obviously working, because they've had this in place for a few years now, and it is a 2% food inflation, pretty much bang on what an economist will tell you that they want for wider economic inflation, as opposed to Ireland's, which is almost double that. The Croatian government is doing something similar. It has expanded its price cap list to more than 100 products. You're seeing Hungary, for example, was actually ordered by the EU to take away some of its caps. So it decided to introduce a cap on the amount of profit you can make, your margin on certain items. But it didn't apply to every Hungarian retailer, but did apply to all sort of quote unquote foreign retailers that were in the market. The EU ordered them to change that, and Hungary basically said, take us to court, go on, we'll challenge you. Probably because it's an election year there, an election week, in fact, in Hungary at the minute. So there is a lot of these Eastern European countries really getting on board with it, and you could see it perhaps as something that the Irish government might get involved in here. Ultimately, I think they're not going to go anywhere near capping. I think they don't like the fact that you are effectively issuing a blank check, particularly on fuel, because who knows, there is this specter of a deal between Iran and the United States. We don't really know how that's going to work out when push comes to shove, and to be relying on Donald Trump to have a deal. I mean, good luck to you, you know. So if you decided you're going to even cap it at €2 a litre, that's a commitment that they might have to keep up for a year or even longer. And suddenly you're not talking about 250 million. And their interventions this year are going to have to be more than 250 million. Let's be absolutely honest. I don't see any way that they unwind the excise duty cuts at the end of May. That's just not going to happen. You will probably need a package going into the winter, even if there is a deal, just as they were unwinding it after several years of energy credits and whatever. So there is going to be a potentially a billion, potentially more, who knows really this year, that they're going to have to find. And I just don't see them doing it at capping. But other countries are doing it, and it is working for other countries, albeit when it comes to fuel at a bit of a cost. That's it for this week's Let Me Explain. We'll be back actually later in the week with another episode, a really interesting one about brain injuries in sport and some Irish researchers who have identified what exactly it is in the brain that causes this and potentially ways to fight it. Don't forget to subscribe to get that dropped into whatever platform it is you listen to podcasts on, and I'll chat to you then.